Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
And we welcome you to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
When a person has stage 4 invasive melanoma that has spread throughout the body, it usually has a very poor prognosis. Today we're going to talk to a man and his wife. The man was diagnosed with stage 4 invasive melanoma that had spread to his lymph nodes. And he was told his life expectancy was 20 to 40 days. But that was many months ago. Today, thanks to cannabis oil, he is clear of cancer. And joining us from the U.S. are Cheryl and Howard. Thanks for doing this, guys. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for having us.
Now, when you were told you had invasive melanoma, when was that?
February of this year.
February of this year. And what did they tell you about your prognosis?
Well, today I thought that I was going over to have the moles burned off and or frozen off. And the first thing from them was, are you ready for stitches? We need to take this main tumor out and have a biopsy, which I refused to do that. And then they gave me 90 days and I left their office, went out in the car and broke down. And so I came home and told my wife there was pretty much no way my mother and my father and my sister all died from it. They didn't get to die from the cancer. They died from the treatment. So I knew that wasn't for me. So we talked about it. And that doctor called me in the next week several times, trying to convince me to go to the UC Cancer Center. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't do it. So we started on the, we had known about Rick Simpson and the Phoenix Tears and Corey and Cannabis Health Radio. So we decided to do the oil. And at first, we couldn't get but a couple strains of the oil. And I think it was helping on the inside, but everything was progressively getting worse. I had it on the inside and on the outside. So after we got in touch with Corey in July, and she steered us in the right direction, and we used the multi-strain, she also also connected us with some silver products. And almost instantly, there started being results daily on the outside. And it just, I went, my holistic chiropractor is where it all started at. He's the one that told me I had to go have something done. Mm-hmm. And came back to him and told him what was going on and direction I was going. He was all the way behind me. So I found a wellness doctor. And I've always stayed away from Western medicine. And she said she is not a cancer doctor. She is a wellness doctor. And if my immune system worked like it was designed, that cancer would never got out of control. So my father died from the same exact cancer. So I went and she did like a 16 bio blood they took out of me to do the test. And when it came back, the a lot of the things were good, but there was a lot that was pretty bad. And I've learned a lot, but I'm not real familiar with this stuff, so I might not get it exactly right. But my homeostasis? Yes, was at 19.7, and it should be between zero and no higher than 17.2. So, you know, that wasn't a good thing. And my glucose, even though we've always ate organically, and a lot of our food comes out of our yard, mm-hmm. and our chickens and everything, my glucose was 107. And so she finally figured out that I had been passed the genes that uptake my vitamin B from my food have a quirk, and that's what my father had, and that my body doesn't uptake vitamin B. So she put me on an active vitamin B. She started me on 50 grams of intravenous vitamin C and glutathione injections. And that went on. And like I said, every day was amazing visual results. And I started mentally even reversing. I had lost all the fat on my body. I lost all the muscles on my body and just, you know, had felt drained. And every day I'm starting to feel like I'm younger again through that. And so in 3 months, she had me go back and do the blood tests over again. And my homocysteine was at where she wrote she wanted it. It was 8.0. My glucose went from 107. The target was 80, and that's what it was. And the blood test for the cancer antigen, mm-hmm. guideline was 0 to 35, 99% chance, no cancer, no further testing needed. 35 and above, probable cancer, more testing required for diagnosis. And mine was a 25. So,
wow.
I still continue in everything, though. And my life's changed forever.
No, you were taking cannabis throughout this process, were you not?
Yes, that once Corey got us pointing the right way and we mixed those strains, first thing Corey asked my wife if I was doing the suppositories, and my wife told her no. We got the multi-strain. My wife made the suppositories. And that was what just, it just burned it up. It just absolutely burned it up.
That is truly amazing, because we've heard a lot of people who have used cannabis, but once they use suppositories, things just accelerated in their favor.
Unbelievably. Yes. Unbelievably.
It was a miracle. It was truly a miracle once the suppositories, because we saw like no change, wasn't getting worse, but it wasn't getting better. It was just there and the pain in his back and not being able to sit back, not being able to
have a
ride in a car and be comfortable, you know, mm-hmm. not be able sleep at night and be comfortable because nothing could touch that. And then getting the silver products too, and putting the silver gel along with the cannabis oil that we had been putting on the back too. Then we switched from straight cannabis oil to coconut oil with the cannabis oil to kind of, so he didn't have to wear the bandages anymore.
So the cancer was on the back, was it?
Yes.
And it was internal and external, correct?
That's yes. The part I still, all the research I've done all the way through this, most of it says that it's either radial, meaning growing inside, or nodular, growing outside.
Outside, yeah. I've seen some of the photos of your back, and it was really quite something. It was really quite something. Basically, what I'm hearing you say is when you implemented the suppositories, that's when things started to turn around. How strong were you making the suppositories? Did you start right at trying to get a gram a day into him?
Well, I'm really not sure how much.
You just eyeballed it and thought, this looks good.
But I went ahead and Howard had found your recipe for the suppositories that you make using 20 grams and a half a cup of, I believe you use cocoa butter, but we use coconut oil for the suppositories. So I made it at 20 grams and at the half of a cup of coconut oil, and I would get about 45 to 48 suppositories, and he would do two in the morning, which were 2 milliliters each. So he did 4 milliliters in the morning and then 4 milliliters in the evening before he went to bed. And has been doing that ever since July. And we've just seen remarkable results.
And you did that in conjunction with colloidal silver, just for listeners who aren't clear about what you're discussing when you say silver products. So colloidal silver you used as well, which is showing great promise with a number of different cancers. But it's like vitamins. Not all colloidal silver is created equal for anybody who's listening out there. If you can get one that's ionic and colloidal silver, it's all the better. But you use the two in conjunction, correct?
Yes.
And he would take the oil orally 4 times a day. And then with each dose of the cannabis oil, he would chase that with the 1 ounce shot of the silver water.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, Cheryl, when Howard started taking his suppositories, could you see a change in him from day to day?
Yes. Yes, I could. And I could see a change in his back from day to day. Things were starting to shrink and get smaller. And it was just and for the first time in months, I could actually say how's it look? I could say something, where before wouldn't say anything. He'd want me to, and I'd tell him, look, I won't lie to you. It's not any worse, but it's not any better.
And so, Howard, when she started saying it was better,
please,
you must have been ecstatic.
Yes. And there was at one point where I thought one of those was just going to fall off, because you could kind of touch it and lift it up a little so that there was a gap between it and the skin, but it never did. I guess it was kind of like an optical illusion, but it was shrinking is what I guess I was seeing, not that it was like going to lift up.
Yeah. Wow. Now, the average, did you tell me, I believe, that the type of melanoma he had is only makes up for 1% of them, and that the average survival rate is 20 to 40 days past diagnosis?
Yes.
Yeah, the first, when I went to the hospital to the dermatologist there, she said, you don't have 90 days. So I told her I was going to try a holistic treatment, and I would know something in 90 days. And she said, Howard, you don't have 90 days. You need to leave here and go straight down there. And it was another 2 weeks before I moved. And then that's when I found out that I guess they were trying to be nice in a roundabout way, but they said that once it metastasizes, and the metastasizing goes to your lymph nodes, that's stage 4. And they said it hits your satellite lymph node, and then instantly that satellite sends that same cancer in your blood to all of your lymph nodes, and 20 to 40 days, and that's it, you're done. And that just lit a fire underneath of me. But I think, honestly, even before we contacted Corey, when we were just doing two strands, strain oil only, even though it wasn't making anything get bigger or that, I think that it was enough to keep that from spreading out of my lymph nodes to the body. I really do.
Yeah, holding it at bay.
Yes. Once we got on the suppositories with multi-strain and I converted my oil to the multi-strain every day there, man, when also my wellness doctor, which I've never done anything like this in my life, she was telling me about fasting. Well, I worked so hard in my career, so many hours and raising a family. We always ate dinner at 8 o'clock at night, and I was lucky to get home by then, and I was gone all day, never knowing that how bad that is. And when she told me that I would have an 8-hour window that I could eat, and after that 8 hours, tried to make the end of the 8 hours at 5 o'clock in the evening, and then fast for 16 hours. When she told me that, I looked at her and I said, I don't think I can do that. And she says, how bad do you want to live? And I said, I'll try anything. And she told me what to eat, what not to eat. And so I went ahead and started. I told her, if I tell you I'll do it, I'll do it. And she said, don't cheat. I said, I will not cheat. I'll guarantee I won't.
Mm-hmm.
So first couple of days, after not eating from 5 o'clock, and I had no circadian rhythm. So the whole last year and the first part of this year, I couldn't sleep. I would fall asleep for an hour or two, wake up, get up, snack, go back to bed, wake up again, and I just couldn't sleep. So she said I lost my circadian rhythm. Well, after I started that fasting, now, between 9 and 10 o'clock, I go to bed and my eyes open at 6 o'clock, like there's an alarm that went off. That 4 hours, I can't eat till 10 o'clock in the morning. That 4 hours is the longest 4 hours in the first couple of days of my life. And she told me you can only have water or black coffee. So thank God for that, because it up and I'd hit that coffee just as fast as it would come out of there. And it's like, well, what do I do for the next 3 hours and 45 minutes? So I had taken martial arts when I was young, and I learned how the power of meditation. So I started meditating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I quit when I lost all my muscles and every bit of fat in my body. And was weak, my holistic chiropractor, he had given me exercise. Well, the tumors under my arms and the lymph nodes got so bad that I had to quit the exercises. Well, as soon as we switched our strains and the suppositories and everything was going good, that's what I do to burn up the rest of that time in the morning before I can eat. And my wellness doctor says that the fasting for the 16 hours, the amazing what it does to your body. And when I told her what I did to take the time up, she says that's like adding another 5 hours of fasting to your 16 hours by doing that. So that's exactly what I do.
For years and years and years and years, that's the way I eat, because I can't eat breakfast. So if I finish dinner, say 6 or 7 o'clock, I won't eat breakfast and I won't eat anything maybe until about 10 or 11. And people who do have breakfast, I just don't know how they do it, because I just can't eat it at that time of day. But it's interesting. It's interesting what you mentioned about what it did to you, because I think that it was fascinating to listen to that.
It's phenomenal. I mean, my circadian rhythm came right back, and amazingly, last night I still go down that rabbit hole every night trying to learn more about this because I want people to know. It's my thought train now.
No, that's okay. You've gone where most people would not venture.
Yeah. And he's also, I think, Howard, it's safe to say that you're still somewhat in a state of shock. You've only just last week received the news that you're cancer-free, and it certainly is a process realizing that you're cancer-free and all these overwhelming emotions that come with that.
That's right. I've never experienced anything like this, but I remember where I was going to go. Last night when I was on there trying to learn more, the Truth About Cancer had a short podcast with Dr. Mercola on there.
Mm-hmm.
That fasting was exactly what it was about. And Dr. Mercola says that for all of the malignant diseases, when they treat them, that by doing that same 16-hour fast, that they have amazing results with the cancer healing from the fasting. They said especially brain cancer. And it's like, this is the way that God designed us to be. We have gotten so far away from our path. That's why everything is like this, why everybody has cancer and sicknesses.
I believe that, and some listener will correct me if I'm wrong, that historically people used to only eat two meals a day. And breakfast was something that was started well over 100 years ago in order to promote Kellogg's products or other products. I'm sorry?
I believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Cheryl, something that I want to sort of bring up in this interview is, and that I really admire you for, is, and I don't remember exactly how this went. I think you got some of this multi-strain and then made your own, but whatever it was, you found out the details of the strains, and then you weren't able to get those specific strains, so you actually researched what the terpenes were in those different strains, correct?
Yes.
Well, that's amazing. And then you went and found strains that were similar and had the same terpenes and grew your own product, correct?
Yes.
Well, good on you for that.
Yeah, excellent.
And I just love this plant. I mean, learning about it, the terpenes, you know, I know a lot of people just believe that it's the THC alone, but I really feel that it's the whole entire flower. The terpenes have a lot to do with it, and that entourage effect that they say, that's the key of putting these together, I believe. I could be wrong, but I think that the terpenes are just as important as the THC and the CBD and all the other, and they know so little about all the other cannabinoids that are in cannabis that more research needs to be done.
Absolutely. But I commend you for doing your research, you know, and I think it is that I think the terpenes play a huge part. And I think that this is why that particular oil that I pointed you to, we're seeing so much success with it. But I think it's to do with the terpene profile. And at some level, you almost proved this by duplicating that with different strains that had the same terpenes.
Right. Yeah, the only thing that we didn't do with those strains is because there's the Harlequin is a CBD, a high CBD one, and yes, it doesn't need that. So we just went with something that was similar in the terpenes, but had the THC and less CBD.
Well, I love what you did. It just goes to show that where there's a will, there's a way.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it is remarkable what you did. Cheryl, how were you emotionally during the past year with Howard's problem?
Well, I think I hit it pretty good because I think I was really a basket case mm-hmm. when I was alone. But when I wasn't, you know, I put on, I guess, my game face. But I believed from the get-go that he wasn't dying and that he was not going to die. That was always in my, you know, like, my whole being told me he was not going to die.
And that energy is projected not only to Howard, but also that energy is poured into when you're making the oil too. It's a really positive mm-hmm. energy that you're putting forth.
Right.
And I can tell you, she did put on a good face because she was my rock.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Really wonderful. What was your experience with cannabis prior to your illness, Howard?
We were lifelong participants with cannabis from a young age. We grew up in the 60s.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yep.
Yeah. And we both play guitar.
And the one vice that we never outgrew, and I don't consider smoking marijuana a vice, we're lifelong cigarette smokers. And I know better, but, you know, when I experimented when I was young with recreational drugs, they weren't really for me. So I went to alcohol. And I think everybody goes through their crazy alcohol stages. But when Cheryl and I got together in our teens, that alcohol, I gave it up. We had a family, and then I gave it up for probably 25 years. Our kids grew up, moved out, had kids of their own. I got ready to retire just because I lost my parents and sister through this. You know, my dad and mom always kept saying, oh, we'll enjoy ourselves when things are better. And they never did get that opportunity. So I retired at 60, even though I really couldn't afford it. But I wanted to enjoy some of my life before I, you know, wasn't here. Well, then I made it 5 years, retired, and then got that diagnosis. And I thought, that's all I get, 5 years. And now I got my whole life ahead of me.
Oh, yeah.
I think your natural practitioner said to you, you're going to live a long life.
Long, healthy life.
Long, healthy life.
Long, healthy life, yeah.
Change anything to just continue what you're doing. I guess with melanoma, when the very first time I went over to the first hospital, and when they said that you're ready for stitches, and it just shocked, it took the wind out of me. And I told them, no, why? Are you kidding? And they said, no, we have to take that tumor out so we get an accurate biopsy. Apparently, they do melanoma in the thickness. It determines how bad and how advanced it is. And all of those thicknesses, I could have these numbers wrong, but in my head sticks a 0.04 millimeters is bad. Anything that and up is thicker than that is bad. And all mine were whole millimeter numbers. And I told her, she said, why won't you let me do it? And I said, well, I've watched people die from this, you know, in my family. And my understanding is when they open you up and that air hits it, that it spreads like wildfire. Mm-hmm. And that means, she says, it's not the air. She says, it's the melanoma. If you were to come in at the very beginning stage and we have great success and we take and freeze them off of you or cut them off of you at that early stage, melanoma has microscopic seeds and they're already in your bloodstream, which means that it will come back. So that's why you have to be diligent and come back when they start, and we take them off early. Well, I had known so many customers that did that route early. And they all ended up, it just kept coming back and back and back until it was in their organs. No more could they cut it off of them. So where they did the biopsies on my back, and probably five or six of them, it spread like wildfire. So from what I understand, you know, everything fell into place and it worked. Everything inside and outside is gone. My lymph nodes, my underarm. I do 35 push-ups, 35 sit. I mean, it's fine. I can wear a 50-pound leaf blower for 2 hours and it doesn't bother me. I can take a back scratcher and scratch both sides of my back the same way. You cannot tell that it was there by feeling it.
Okay, Howard, you're embarrassing us with all your hard work there.
But I didn't think I ever, I love the work, that I would ever to be able to do anything again, that I can do anything now.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is a remarkable story on how two people managed to research cannabis extensively, use cannabis, I guess, Cheryl and Howard, to sustain your life until you got into the suppositories, which really was the accelerator to help you clear yourself of this disease. Is that right?
That yes. is correct. That is 100% correct.
Yep.
So Howard, what, you know, Cheryl was saying that she was bound and determined and just knew in her heart that you weren't going to die. Two questions. Did you feel that way? And what went through your head when you were told that you were cancer free?
The first one, it took me probably, when I went, I was by myself the first time at the hospital because I didn't think it was anything was going to be a big deal. But I went.
Well, and plus COVID, I wasn't allowed to go with you.
That's true. But I went out to the car, and I mean, I fell apart, and I just shivered uncontrollably. And then I realized in my psyche what that was going to do to me, that I had to get away from that and start being rational. So, you know, once I came home and talked to her, in the back of my mind, after watching my father and my mother and my sister, part of me accepted dying. And so I started trying to get ready, but at the same time, let that play the biggest role. But when with Cheryl keep encouraging me like she did all the way through it, and when we got to the multi strains and the suppositories and daily was improving, the things that I had before I ever knew there was anything wrong with me for years, from physically abusing myself at work my whole life, I just assumed that those things were just what happens when you get old and when you overworked your body all them years. Well, even when I was doing just the two strains of oil, that turned out to prolong my battle until I could get what I needed. All those things, when I started doing the suppositories, all of those things went away. I had a horrendous problem with hemorrhoids. I had a horrendous problem with trying to go number two. Mm-hmm. Like something inside of me was just, you know, like folding over and wouldn't let it pass. Within a week, all of those things went away and they have not been back. It's just amazing. And then I knew that I was healing. I mean, I could feel everything, and my conversations with God, you know, he was behind me all the way, and I had an angel on my head. When I got this news, I was already a firm believer from Cheryl that I was cured. But when I got that, I have been walking on the clouds since. I feel like I'm 20 years old. I haven't felt like this since I been young. And this has been going on 2-3 months now that I've felt like this. But I just can't get off them clouds yet. You know, I just feel like I'm walking on air.
Well, what we're going to do, Howard, is put you in the Boston Marathon.
I might be able to do it.
Guys, you have a wonderful story, and it will be an inspiration to others who are listening around the world, and we greatly appreciate you telling your story and the wonderful good news you have. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for allowing us to share our story with the world.
I'd like to also add 2 things that I did that might help other people also. My holistic chiropractor, I believe he's from another country, and when I first went to him, because I had procrastinated on an adjustment that I had needed forever, and my neck and my back got so bad, I was just miserable. So when I said, you know, I'm going to quit procrastinating, I'm going to go get my neck fixed, I'm going to go get that mole taken off of me, and I showed him that day, and he asked me, he says, in my country, what we do for everything, he said, we would put olive oil on that and we would get the sauna hours upon hours, day upon day. He says that's was mostly what we used to cure almost everything over there. Mm. But as about my daughter, which I didn't even know, had a near infrared portable sauna, and she had got it for, you know, just detoxing normally. And she dived down the rabbit hole and called me up and says, Dad, you wouldn't believe that this sauna for cancer, that you sweat out 70% more toxins under relaxation than you do work sweat. She brought that sauna over here, and I started immediately using that sauna. And when your body secretes all that, and then I run from the sauna to the shower, that was an amazing detoxing device. And the other thing I was told to do right away, I think by Corey, probably to my wife, was the coffee enemas. I had never, ever done anything like that. I had heard them and read them on it about that, but I got those right away. And it really lets you understand how your liver works and how those coffee enemas can release that toxin from your liver. And I had never done that in my life. And for the first couple weeks that I was doing that, I could not believe what I was seeing coming out of me. It was just, I had never, ever seen anything like that. Everything helps.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, thanks very much once again. We really appreciate what you've gone through and your recovery. And as your holistic doctor said, you'll live a long and healthy life. Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Cheryl and Howard. Much appreciated.
And we'd like to thank you, our listener, for supporting us and sharing our podcast with others who would benefit from hearing testimonials like Howard's and on the power of cannabis. And if you'd like to support us, there are a couple of ways you can do it. You can become a monthly supporter for as little as $5 a month on our Patreon page, or you can make a one-time donation through our website, cannabishealthradio.com. And there's another way you can help us spread the word about our show. Write a review on the platform that you listen to this podcast on and share the podcast on social media. You just might help save a life, and that would be fantastic. We're very grateful for your support. Thanks once again for listening, everyone, and we'll be back again next week with another episode of Cannabis Health Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com. subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you.